Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Thursday. It's U.S. Open week. I'm fired up about that. One eye on the show, one eye on the screen. I'm just being honest. I am going to be focused for Phil Steele. Phil Steele's college football preview, it's like the Bible when it comes to college football. This is a guy that puts in a tireless amount of hours, who is, in my opinion, as plugged in as anybody in the preseason stuff. That's what he does. And it's coming out, I think, in like 10 days. You can pre-order it. And Phil will just break it down. The ASU fans and U of A fans, though, when the last few days, Phil's had it on his website. He was joining me, and I put it out there this morning. Yeah, I've heard from you. He doesn't have either one of you guys ranked in the top 20. So you have a problem with that. Thing is, I'm going to ask Phil Steele directly, why is ASU not a top 20 team in your opinion? And a whole bunch of other stuff. With a national title game in college football next January, and we are very heavy, 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 heavy college and high school football, a lot that we do here on Sports 360 AZ. So we'll talk with Phil Steele about U of A, ASU, Pac-12, Heisman, teams under the radar. Eric, do you need me to work in a TCU question just for your approval on this interview? Do you want something along those lines?
I would never say no to something.
Is that
like
a
that.
TCU shirt you have
it
on
is.
Today?
Yeah, it is.
You're leaving today?
Tomorrow.
So Eric has, 12 weeks of vacation, I think?
12 and a half, yeah.
I think is what we negotiated.
It bumped up. You gave me the extra half week.
Actually, I don't think we negotiated. I think you just said, I'm going to take 12 weeks. So when TCU made it to the College World Series, Eric immediately went through all the paperwork. He went in online, is all you have to do.
Yep.
All you guys have to do. You have to log in. You have to put in a password. You have to put in a request day off on a calendar.
Go through HR.
You have to go through HR. You have to have numerous amounts of approval by lots of people.
They wanted like a blood sample. I don't know why, but.
Or you could be Eric who just said, hey, TCU just won. I am off next Friday and Monday.
But
that's it.
Here's the rub, Brad.
Yeah.
They play LSU tonight in an elimination game. So,
what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to go regardless. I'm going out there to see friends. I'm not necessarily. It'd be a bonus if TCU was still playing.
Oh, I don't believe you for a minute. What are you talking about? You're going out there to see friends. You're going to watch TCU.
But if they don't win tonight, then I'll be watching Vandy and LSU tomorrow.
But then you'll go do a piece on Swanson for the site.
Yeah, I'd like to see him play live. It'd be pretty cool.
Do you have a credential?
No.
Shut up. Get out of here. You didn't even put in for a credential, and you're going all the way back there?
Come
are you
on,
nuts?
It's a vacation. It's not a work.
No. You put in for time off, it doesn't matter. You're always on the clock on this job. It's 24/7.
All right, I'll send out a couple tweets and call it work.
There you go. That's all we talk about. That's how we work here.
Tax write-off.
I'm just trying to help you out here. Come on. You go get a picture with Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
Stick your iPhone in front of him. Get a little bit of sound. Put it out there on Twitter and then go charge $400 for a meal.
Hi, nice to meet you. I work in Phoenix Media.
That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
Write off. Done.
Do you want to talk to me? No, not really. I just want to come in and introduce myself. It's official.
Write off. We're really tax guys here doing our thing. Robbie Ray is going to be with us today. So the Diamondbacks left-handed starter. I've been very impressed with Robbie Ray. I was at the ball game last night. Did you go? Were you
no,
there?
No, but I watched it. I did not go.
I went and I tell you, the vibe I'm getting down there from the Diamondbacks, they're not going to go for it this year. It doesn't mean that they're not going to try to get into the postseason. They're not going to go for it. So a guy like Robbie Ray, let's say a team calls you. Let's say it's Philadelphia and it's Cole Hamels and it's a big contract. And Philadelphia says, well, we'd love to do something with you, but our starting point's going to be Chase Anderson and Robbie Ray. The answer is going to be no, we're not going to do that. We are not going to mortgage the future. And by that, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. He's been really good. He came over in the Tiger deal. And so we're going to talk with him for a couple of minutes. That's like 10:50. Phil Steele in about 8-9 minutes. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I talk about how general manager Tim Hovick at Santan Ford is a huge Arizona sports supporter with the Diamondbacks, with the Cardinals, with Arizona State. This morning, Tim is in Seattle walking the course at the U.S. Open. It sounds real prestigious, and it is, but it's part of the Ford brand, the Ford reach. Tim's got a lot of people up there that he's seen involved with Ford, which is great for him. Later today, I'll drive up to Pine Top in my Ford Fusion. I'll be emceeing an event tonight for Arizona State, an emceeing event for ASU tomorrow, and a couple of events on Saturday for their White Mountain Sun Devil Steak Fry in my Ford Fusion. And I know Tim's bought a table up there. I've got a table up there. We take care of one another through the Santan Ford brand. Santan Ford, how about you? What kind of car are you driving this summer? You're going to head out on vacation in a truck that doesn't fit all your family? Have you guys had expansion? Or maybe you're hitting that backside where there's not as many kids to take on that summer vacation. Time to get out of that vehicle, too. We just went through that phase. You know, we had that Expedition for, gosh, it had 160,000 miles on it. We did a lot of soccer and a lot of basketball tournaments through high school and junior high school. Those kids are now grown and gone. So now we're in an Explorer with just our one little guy. And it makes a lot of sense for us. How about you? Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is. All about you. Last night, Paul Goldschmidt comes up. Paul Goldschmidt, if you are one of those guys that says, Brad, I am not a fan of baseball. I'm a fan of football. I'm a fan of basketball. I'm a fan of whatever. But baseball is just too slow for me. I would challenge you. If you're not a fan of sport, if you haven't seen Paul Goldschmidt do his thing, you're missing an awful lot of this.
Drives that one high and deep and kiss him goodbye. Hashtag vote Goldie, his 19th, and it's 1-0 Diamondbacks.
Man, is he good. He is so good. He made a couple of plays defensively. I was sitting up in the suite level on the first base line. And he made a couple plays last night defensively that are as good a play as you're going to see. Chase Anderson was good. I think more importantly, the bullpen was terrific too. But once again, a quality start. I hate that term. A very good start. Because if you look at the thing behind quality starts, it doesn't really mean much. Chase Anderson was really good. Let's just put it at that. How about a really good start? Here's Chip Hale after the game.
I thought he pitched well. I think this is a good team. This, you know, when you get and you have to negotiate pitching to Calhoun, Trout, Pujols, and Freeze, it takes a lot out of you. And when you get to that third time around, it's tough, very tough. And the bottom of their order gave us some troubles tonight.
You know, if Josh Hamilton had kept his act together in Anaheim, and you put Josh Hamilton behind Pujols, and you've got to go Trout, Pujols, Hamilton, wow. It seems to me, in watching the Angels, they're probably a left-handed bat away from being really, really good. Really, really good. On the Diamondbacks' end, their bullpen came through in big way last night. Daniel Hudson was terrific once again. Really good. And Brad Ziegler came in and closed it out. They are one game below 500. It feels as though I've been saying for the last month they're a game below 500. Can they get to even? Can they get to level? Use any term you want. You can get to 500. Can they do that today at the big ballpark? But what a really good win for them. Castillo hit another home run. Castillo's been a good little pickup for them. You look at the Trumbo trade, tell you, and you have to give the defensive credit. They bring in Saltalamacchia. They bring in Castillo. They've now had a few turns with this staff, and the staff, in turn, has started to produce in a big way. Is it a coincidence? Forget about the offensive stuff for a minute. Is it a coincidence that the Diamondbacks are starting to really get it done with their pitching because their catchers are now more familiar with them? You know, I like where they are on that. The Dodgers play the Giants this weekend, and I bring this up because the Diamondbacks have the Padres here tomorrow. Pat Murphy's going to be in town. The Padres are really struggling. The Dodgers and Giants are separated by just 2.5 games. If the Diamondbacks can get a bit of a run together, they've won 5 of their last 6 games, game below 500. I'm telling you guys, the West is not that far removed for them. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The U.S. Open is underway. I'm not going to give you leaderboards stroke by stroke, but Mickelson's out on the course. Tiger will be out there later today. Here is Tim Brando from Fox Sports. He's doing the coverage on Fox Sports Go. On Chambers Bay, Seattle, you'll see this all through the weekend, right through Father's Day, on this unique course.
This is a course that was built only 8 years old, but on a sand quarry. And the thing that I think everyone will notice when they see it for the first time is, oh my gosh, we've never seen a setup like this for a U.S. Open. And where did they find this golf course? It looks like an old course, one of the old courses across the pond. It's got a Lynx feel to it.
Yeah.
And but it's not really Lynx golf in the sense that the shots will hold a little bit more.
That was Tim Brando with me earlier. What will the winner shoot this weekend? I asked Tim about that.
I think 6-under is gettable. You know, when I say 64, that would mean a 66 on a par 72 layout. I think, again, we'll be close to par, but I think under par wins. I don't think a level par, to me, level par would not be the optimum finishing point for the winner. I think maybe 3 or 4 under might be the number this year.
And right now, Phil Mickelson, I am giving you a bit of a leaderboard. Phil, as we speak, is in first place very early on. Through 9, he's at -3. Hideki Matsuyama is 1 stroke back. Dustin Johnson, 1 stroke back as well. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. On the other side, Phil Steele is going to be with us. If you've not heard Phil's content before, it's really good. College football preview. We are about 90 days away from ASU against Texas A&M. I'm going to ask him about that matchup. For the Sun Devil fans, why does he have you ranked 29th? And for U of A fans, why 34th? Not in the top 20. Better division, SEC West, Pac-12 South, Heisman Trophy, coaches on the hot seat. A lot to get to with Phil Steele. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
You know, we may be in the middle of a baseball season that's going the right way for the Diamondbacks. We may be in the middle of the NBA draft next week and the NHL draft here in Arizona with the Coyotes and the Suns. I don't care. All that matters is that Phil Steele's college football preview is coming because we have ASU and U of A in less than 90 days getting their season started. The Pac-12 South will be at the Texas A&M ASU game, I think one of the marquee games of the week and actually the month to start college football. Phil Steele joins us for a couple of minutes. You can go to philsteele.com. Guys, I'm telling you this straight up, and I don't get a dime from Phil, not even a nickel. There is not a more complete Bible when it comes to college football than what Phil has out there. And even though you Sun Devil fans have already been crushing him by saying, how can he have us not ranked in the top 20, and the same with U of A fans, I don't care. It's just the fact that we're talking about this. Phil joins us now for a couple of minutes. How are you, Phil?
Hey, real good, Brad. Appreciate the kind comments. Put a lot of work into the magazine, and when you're doing those 100-hour work weeks, comments like that keep me going.
Well, 100-hour work weeks means that you talk to not just Todd Graham, not just Rich Rodriguez, but to assistants, coordinators. Take the fans through your preparation for this, as I put it, the Bible of college football.
Well, it all starts right at the end of November, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I start writing the magazine, and what we do is we compile all the stories written about the team each year, and so it's about anywhere from 75 to 300 pages on each team, and I read through it for each team, really get a perspective of how the season went, injuries, which units underperformed, which ones overperformed, what they have coming back for the next year, and I do my first write-through then, spend about 3 to 5 hours on each team, and there's, of course, 128 teams out there. Then the second write-through process begins at the start of spring practice for everybody. Once again, we get the updated rosters, any other moves. I go through and fine-tune what was written, do a lot of editing because I tend to write a lot, so I usually have about 2.5 pages written. Got to chop it down to 1. And then the third write-through is post-spring, and this year I was able to incorporate about 45 coaches' calls into it. The rest of the coaches' calls I get to over the summer because schedules are tough to coordinate, but it's something that I work on year-round, college football.
PhilSteele.com. All right, let's get into what you see here in the state of Arizona for the coming season. Two programs that I'm here in the middle of the forest. I think they're both on the rise, but they're still not quite there yet. Let's start with U of A. You have them as number 34. What's your view of Rich Rod's team?
Well, last year I really enjoyed Arizona's season. I had them picked higher than any other magazine in the division, so greatly enjoyed them winning the Pac-12 South last year. Rich Rod's got a pretty good team coming back. This is the first time he's had an experienced quarterback in quite some time in a new Solomon. Nick Wilson is a dynamic running back. They've got one of the better receiving corps in the country. In fact, I rate it the number 12 unit. And while they lose a bunch of players off the offensive line, they do get in a couple of transfers, a San Jose State transfer at center and David Catalano, and a Cal transfer at left tackle and Freddie Tagaloa. The defense looks like it's going to be, well, any defense that's got Scooby Wright on it should be one of the better defenses out there. So I think they'll be a top 40 defense once again. Factor in the schedule, though. It is difficult. They do they play five Pac-12 road games this year. Trips to Arizona State, USC, Stanford are all among those road trips. So with that type of schedule, I actually picked them tied for fourth in the Pac-12 South this year.
I think, too, Phil, it's unfair to U of A, but it's just the way that it's been dealt. They don't have a bye week.
Yes.
And I've never seen a situation where you're already in my view, and we can get into this a little bit later if you want, the SEC West and the Pac-12 South, you talk about, you know, every week you're going to be facing it. Those two divisions, you're up against it. So I think the schedule really works against them.
And I would agree with you. And the same thing happened to Northwestern last year. It seemed like their entire second half of the season, they were playing another game, consecutive game, and a lot of their opponents were in off of byes. And they tended to lose a lot of those games down the stretch last year. So not getting a bye does have an impact.
You talk about Scooby Wright. How good of a linebacker do you see him across the country?
Well, I tell you what, I'm on every award committee out there, and I don't think there was an award where Scooby Wright's name didn't come up, and he won almost every single one of them. And I'll go back to one game. During the day on Saturdays, I watch 12 games here at my office at work. And then at night, I usually go home, and I've got 8 games on at my home office. And so I've got the 8 games on, and I've got the volume on one, and it happened to be an Arizona game. And just the entire game, I kept hearing Scooby Wright's name mentioned over and over and over. And, you know, the name Scooby will stick out to you because what the name is. But that right there impressed me. It was early in the season. I think he had 19, 21 tackles and a lot of other plays involved. And he is one of the most dynamic playmakers out there.
Talking with Phil Steele, go to philsteele.com. That is STEELE, philsteele.com. The magazine comes out, Phil Steele's College Football Preview. You're not going to be able to make it through summer and the season without checking it out. And I don't even get a penny, right? I don't get anything off this, right?
No, Phil? And there's no check in the mail either,
nothing,
Brad.
Nothing. All right, ASU, you have them ranked 29th. And the Sun Devil fans out here are not happy with Phil Steele not giving them their respect they feel. Why do you not have them ranked in the top 20?
Well, it's a tough division, and you know when you're pulling in the rankings, it is it's difficult. But I can see where Arizona State makes me look bad in that respect. A lot's going to depend on how they do October 29th when they host Oregon. I think if they can get that game there, they also host USC. If they can get that game there, then they're probably looking at a 10-win regular season, because last year's Arizona State team, of course, was very inexperienced on both sides of the ball. This year, 6 returning starters on offense, but 9 on defense. A lot of JUCOs coming into the lineup. They've got a capable quarterback in Mike Bercovici, and we saw last year what he could do. And remember, last year when Taylor Kelly came back from injury, I don't think he was the same Taylor Kelly, and that's when Arizona State started losing a couple of games. I like the running back situation. I like DJ Foster. The offensive line looks solid. It is a strong team across the board. How they fare in those home games against USC and Oregon will really determine how high they finish in the standings.
I think you look at the receiving core, and that to me is a question mark with ASU. You lose Jalen Strong to the NFL. I think that's an awfully big loss for them. DJ, they're going to put in a lot of different positions out in the field. They talk about him as a Percy Harvin type, Phil, out here, mm-hmm. and I don't know if I buy into that 100%, But nonetheless, Nick Kelly's one of the best centers in the country, who I think deserves a lot of recognition for the job that he's done out here. Again, though, in the South, I agree with you. It's hard to look at them objectively and say this is a top 15 team, because every week you're going to be facing somebody. Their non-conference opening with Texas A&M. Give me a better opening week game than Texas A&M ASU, and I don't think you can find one. And
no, I don't think so. In fact, I'm looking forward to that game greatly. It's in Houston, of course, a little advantage for A&M, but I think Arizona State's got a great shot at winning that. And as you touched on, in the South, you had 5 teams that finished ranked last year. Arizona State not only has to play USC and Oregon at home, but they got to play UCLA and Utah on the road this year. So it is a tough schedule. But I'll tell you one guy who's going to be happy, and I haven't talked to Coach Graham yet this year. I'll talk to him over the summer, I'm sure. But very happy with where I have picked Arizona State, and that's Todd Graham. Because every time I talk to him, if he's picked anywhere near below expectations. He gets excited. He wants to be. He wants to be picked sixth in the division because he uses it as a rallying cry for his team.
Yeah, I don't think he's. I don't think Colorado's passed them by quite.
Yeah,
they have a little bit of a ways to go on that one. Talking with Phil Steele. All right, so if you were to just talk about Texas A&M, ASU as that season opener, a little bit on Texas A&M.
Well, A&M does look like a stronger team this year than last year. Last year they were rather inexperienced. They had to replace Johnny Manziel. Things started out great. They had Kenny Hill lighting the world on fire the first couple of games, but then he ended up even losing his job to Kyle Allen. I think when you look at A&M, Kyle Allen is battling the true freshman Kyler Murray for that starting job, but whoever wins it's going to be thrown by number four set of receivers in the country. They have a top-notch offensive line. And defensively, they bring in John Chavis from LSU, and he's a very good defensive coordinator. He inherits a lot of talent. This is an A&M team that's been extremely young on defense the last couple of years, just 5 and 6 returning starters. This year they've got 8 returning starters on defense, led by Miles Garrett. And he's a guy that last year as a true freshman up front had 11.5 sacks. He's a dynamic pass rusher. But between the two teams, I definitely give Arizona State the edge on the defensive side of the ball. And offensively, slight edge to A&M. I actually have Arizona State about a field goal favorite in that game, so I think Arizona State's got a good shot at winning it.
Phil Steele, college football preview, philsteele.com. A couple other questions, we'll let you go. Pac-12 South against the SEC West, how do you divide it right now?
I'm going to go with the SEC West because you look at their bottom, the last place team, and I'm picking Mississippi State for 7th in the West. Mississippi State's a team that was number one in the country for 5 straight weeks last year. I'm picking Colorado for last in the Pac-12 South. And granted, I think Colorado's a much-improved team. In fact, I give them a shot at even making a bowl this year. That's how tough the Pac-12 South is. But I'm still going to take Mississippi State over Colorado. So I think at the bottom of the conference, or division, I should say, I would take the SEC West. And that's why I would rate the SEC West 1 and the Pac-12 South 2 among all the divisions in college football.
How deep is the Big Ten this year? Because we saw what happened in the title game, and of course the title game is here in Glendale this year, or next January. How good is the Big Ten from your view with Harbaugh coming in and obviously what went on at Ohio State?
Yeah, I got the Big Ten coming in as the 3rd best conference this year, and I think they gained a lot of respect in the bowls with Michigan State getting past Baylor, with Wisconsin getting past Auburn, Ohio State, of course, winning the national title. There's a lot of good things going on in the bowl season for the Big Ten, but they're not really up there with the SEC and the Pac-12 right now. Those are the top 2 conferences. I think when you look at the overall depth, there are question marks with some of the teams in the Big Ten. Purdue, I think Maryland's going to go through a little bit of a rebuilding year this year with just 10 returning starters, and some other teams that will struggle just to get to be bowl eligible. So I think right now, ranking the conferences, I've got SEC 1, Pac-12 2, and then a little bit of a gap in the Big Ten 3.
Before I let you go, a couple questions on team specific that I've gotten people that shot by me. What do you view TCU for this year?
No bigger fan in the country of TCU last year than I was. I called that 4-8 team to be my number 1 most improved team and number 4 surprise team in the country. They didn't disappoint. Their offense explosive, 10 starters back, including Trevon Boykin, the Heisman favorite there. Biggest question mark is linebacker, but Gary Patterson's still the head coach. I think he'll mold a good linebacking core, and perhaps the key game of the season, Baylor, is at home on November 27th. That could be the de facto Big 12 title game, the one that the Big 12 lacked last year. I give TCU a great shot at making the playoffs.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame has got 18 returning starters coming back this year, plus numerous players that got injured last year that return, and some players that missed last season that return. So they're even more experienced than the 17 returning starters they have coming back. I had Malik Zaire as the starting quarterback coming in, and perhaps that's why Golson ended up transferring. You look at their schedule, the only 2 games I have in a dog are at Clemson, at Stanford, and both those games are close, same as the home game against USC. This could be a similar season to 2012 if they can just stay healthy. Remember, their defense, very good in the first half last year. Once they got banged up, it was very poor in the second half.
Most improved team?
My number 1 most improved team in the country this year is actually Miami of Florida. And they're a team that's way under the radar. Nobody's picking them very high whatsoever. I thought they underachieved a little bit the last couple years. Al Golden makes my coaches on the hot seat list. Brad Kaya is the starting quarterback. They've got a deep backfield with Yerby, Edwards, and Walton. The receiving core looks solid. The defense has got a lot of talent throughout. I think that defense is going to be pretty strong. And then you look at the schedule. The schedule's very manageable. In fact, the only two games I have them an underdog this year, at Florida State, at Pitt. They were a team with a losing record last year. I think they have a shot at double-digit wins this season.
Coaches on the hot seat.
Well, you could go numerous ones. First one with Norm Chow of Hawaii. I'm going to go Al Golden right there of Miami of Florida. And then how about Paul Rhodes of Iowa State? These are all coaches that need to have a good season this year.
Michigan.
Much improved with Jim Harbaugh. I'm thinking they get to the 8-9 win level. They do get Ohio State and Michigan State at home this year. So if the stars align and everything works out perfect, they could actually contend, but I don't quite see it. I'm looking for 8-9 wins, though, a solidly improved team.
Heisman Trophy.
I'm going out of the box a little bit here and picking Cody Kessler of USC. Cody Kessler had a fantastic season last year, completing 70% of his passes, 39 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. He's got a great supporting cast, and I think USC's going to have a lot of success this year.
Two teams that will be in Glendale for the title game.
I went with Ohio State, which I think has the clearest shot to get to the national title game with the talent they have and the schedule they have. And I've got them matched up against TCU. I think TCU does have a shot at getting there. But really, to me, that number two spot for the title game is wide open. There's a lot of teams that could take it. And don't fall asleep on even a team like Baylor this year.
Great stuff as always, Phil. Appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing the magazine. We'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. A lot of fun as always.
There's Phil Steele. Phil Steele's college football preview. You can check out all of his content at philsteele.com. Guy's good. I think he just kind of hammered right through it. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So a week from today is the NBA draft. And I think I'm hearing myself. There you go. That a boy. Hey, we have our things here. We're not afraid to put our pimples out there, guys. It's fine.
Well, that was my fault because I told Jared I wanted to hear the interview with Phil Steele, and then I went in the studio and started talking to you, and he just forgot to turn a button down. So.
Oh, so you're sitting here while I was talking to Phil. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, I heard the interview once already, so yeah. I just thought I wanted to hear it again. And then
was it that good?
We got talking.
Was it that good?
Is it always that good?
Did you see the Steve Patterson story?
I did. So, and that is about as surprising as the sun coming up in Phoenix in July. So
the gist of this story is Steve Patterson, a former Sun Devil athletic director, has now gone down to Texas and basically is crushing or getting crushed for turning things upside down there and upsetting a lot of people. He had done some of that here. Todd Graham had zero relationship with Steve Patterson at the end. In fact, I was told they didn't even talk for the last few months that he was here. Many of what has come out in this article, and I had it here in front of me, and now I'm searching for it. A lot of what has come out in this article, I've looked at and said, that sounds like Steve Patterson. He's charging fans to go down on the field for practice. What is it, $50?
It's $25. So I guess as the story goes, there was a Texas 1964 class reunion last September.
Yeah.
And they wanted to bring a bunch of the people that were attending the function down on the field. And Steve Patterson's like, well, that's going to be $25 per person to go stand on Darrell K. Royal, Texas Memorial Stadium field. Well, why is that? Well, you know, the groundskeepers have to keep the ground looking nice. We have to pay to have the lights on, blah, 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 blah.
Of course they do.
$25 to go stand on the field.
Well, so Texas lost about 10,000 season ticket holders from what I had heard. And when you lose that much, you're going to start to do things that will upset people. You've got to find ways to recover from that. And when he was here, when Steve was here, he was doing a little bit of that, Eric, but I wouldn't say he was doing things to the level that they're doing it in Texas. Texas is the wealthiest athletic department in the country. But when Texas brought Steve Patterson in, there were already people there that were on the lookout. He just recently fired their longtime sports information director. Sports information director, guys, he's one of those that tells you what's going on with the program. You go out and you drink beers. He passes you out stats. You travel around planes together. You scratch backs. He gives you some information off the record. Steve's worn those people out through the years. Even when he was at ASU, from my understanding, he wore those people out. Publicly, it was all kumbaya. Privately, it wasn't pretty at all. So when that happened this week, that basically set the wheels in motion that it's time to go after Steve Patterson. This was put together by one of the best in the business, Chip Brown, who is a Horns Digest reporter. We've had Chip on the show, I think, once after Steve was hired, and he's really good. His content is really good. Coaches used to be allowed to go into the athletic dining hall whenever they wanted under DeLoss Dodds, a former AD, often to bond with their student athletes or have one-on-one conversations. Under Patterson, coaches are only allowed 30 visits per year. If coaches go to the athletic dining hall more than that, they have to pay $10 each for their visit, and they have to pay it out of their own pocket. Again, this is the wealthiest athletic program in all. Patterson said in an interview with Texas Monthly last September, the city of Austin should help pay for the UT new basketball arena because the city had gotten a free ride for 30 years by not having to bear any of the costs at the Irwin Center. That is being planned for demolition in 5 to 8 years as part of UT's new medical school. Patterson has not apologized for these comments. And a Texas alumnus, Sally Lear, who had an altercation with Patterson on her 50th Texas reunion, said, quote, "Longhorns don't treat other Longhorns the way he does, but I'm not sure he sees himself as part of the university. I think he sees himself as superior to the university." That is Steve Patterson.
Case in point this. Last year, Texas football under Charlie Strong went 6-7.
Yeah.
Steve Patterson hiked the cost of a football ticket to go see the Longhorns this offseason by 21.5%. At Oklahoma, they had a poor football season by Oklahoma standards. Mm-hmm. They were like 8-5, and they decided to just go ahead and keep the ticket prices the same.
He upset people by saying that he would like to have Texas play games in Dubai. He also said there's a better chance of Texas playing in Mexico City than a revival of the rivalry with Texas A&M.
Oh my gosh. Do you want to just completely alienate your fan base, make statements like that?
But is this
We're not going to be playing A&M, but guess what? We got Wazoo coming up in Dubai. Great.
But is this Steve's way of saying, I'm going to get out front and flush out a lot of the old guard? Because I've seen that happen. I think he tried to do some of that here. I think there was some old guard that he wanted to flush out and bring in fresh money and fresh blood. When he was at Portland, when the Trailblazers were under Steve Patterson's watch, he gutted that franchise, blew a lot of people out. When he first came to ASU, and I liked him personally.
I did too. He defended ASU when Notre Dame tried to back out of the home game last year.
He was terrific in that regard. He was terrific. And he also started getting the ball rolling of all the excuses and all of this, the lethargy within the athletic department under Lisa Love. I mean, that athletic department was about as lethargic and lazy and just unimaginative as any that I've ever seen, with some really good people there that had been neutered or had just been beaten down, worn out, or we're just used to it being this way. Well, that's not acceptable. I'm going to be up in Pine Top tonight with Todd Graham and Ray Anderson and Charlie Turner Thorne and several of their other coaches for the next 3 days. I didn't go to ASU. I'm not getting a check to do this event. I'm going up there to MC this event because it's for some very good people. They have 6 scholarship recipients every year. And you may say, oh, that sounds real Pollyanna. There's got to be an agenda for you. No, it's just too damn hot down here. I just want to get away. But I like this event. I'm going to go up to Danny White's private pond, and I'm going to go throw a line out there with him. I heard he just had hand surgery. Ray talks about how that is a brotherhood community meeting that we're going that they have every year up there at the White Mountains. And I agree with that. I would do the same thing with U of A. I would do the same thing with GCU or NAU. If I believe enough in the event, I'll put myself out there as long as they pay enough. This case, I see these kids and, you know, I'll go do some things for kids because I really believe in what's going on.
I just wonder though, Brad, circling back on Steve Patterson, if you shake the tree hard enough and you push away some of those deep pocketed donors, it's okay if you want to shake up internally what's going on, but if you tick off the people that are helping make Texas the number one rated revenue school in the country, is that going to have long-term effects, or will you just get other donors just because it's the University of Texas and they're like the gold standard when it comes to fundraising?
Well, I think there's a little bit of truth in both that, Eric. I think that there were some guys that Steven embraced here that were old school and old guard. Then there were others that just like to say that they're big supporters and they're not. There's always wannabes and bandwagon jumpers when it comes to college athletics. And there's going to be those guys that write a check when they have the ability to write much, much, much bigger checks, but they just don't want to. And Steve's looking at that. From a business sense, I get it. I don't think there's a ton of loyalty there with him, though. I think the minute that you don't put as much in, he probably cuts your legs off. That's the world of college athletics. Robbie Ray is going to join us on the other side. Diamondback starting pitcher. Robbie Ray last year averaged like 91 miles per hour. This year he's averaging 93.7. What does that mean? And he's just crushing people. Well, we're going to talk to him. He put a sonogram up on his Twitter feed. What's that all about? And he's pitching really well for the Diamondbacks. That's next. Diamondbacks in play again this afternoon. Trying to get to that 500 mark. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Brad Sismad with you. Robbie Ray joins us now. I'm very pleased with the performance of the Diamondback pitchers. I am the one voice here in Arizona that said 84 wins at the start of the year. And many of you wake up on days where they don't win and like to bang me over the head with a drum and say, look, you've been here 20 plus years. I've never heard you be such a homer and say 84 wins out of this team. Well, guys, they're right on track for me. They're going to be just fine. And one of the reasons why is Robbie Ray's in the rotation. His earned run average is 1.09 through four starts. He's been really good. For some reason, he has a sonogram on his Twitter feed, which I find interesting. And his fastball is like 2 miles per hour faster this year than it was last year. So there's a lot of interesting stuff. Robbie, it's Brad. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me about this sonogram on your Twitter feed.
Oh, yeah. Me and my wife found out couple weeks ago that we're going to be having a kid, so you know we're really excited.
What are you having?
We don't know yet. We'll probably find out in the next time we go in. We'll be right around 16 to 18 weeks.
Yeah, first one.
First one, yeah.
Yeah, don't find out. I've had four. It's more fun. Element of surprise. You can tell her. Look, I'll decorate the room in the off season. How many weeks along is she?
She's right around 14.
So when you get through the postseason, that's about baby time, right? End of October, 1st of November?
We're actually expecting right around New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Wow, then. I'm way off in my math. New Year's Eve? Really? That's, all right. All right. What do you make out of this? The last year, you were averaging 91.2 miles per hour, and this year, you're averaging 93.7. What do you make out of that?
You know, I'm not really sure. It's probably, you know, learning my body a little more and growing. You know, I'm still young. I'm 23 years old. And just, you know, realizing who I am as a pitcher, not trying to overdo things. You know, really kind of fine-tuning my mechanics as I get a little older. So I think I can contribute to that.
Is it just bad radar guns, you think?
Yeah, it could be. You never know. Some are juiced and slow.
Juiced radar gun. Well, no, in actuality, and I've covered the Diamondbacks and been here since day one of the organization, and there has been that thought through the years that the radar gun at Chase Field, or before that Bank One Ballpark, was a little bit skewed. So I just have to wonder on that.
You never know.
Do you feel different in terms of velocity? Do you feel like, can you feel 2 miles per hour more when you throw a ball?
Not really. When it's that much of a difference, there's not a whole lot of difference. I mean, I definitely feel myself, you know, getting into my lower half a little more. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say, that there's a whole lot of difference in the arm action or anything, but, I definitely feel like, you know, I'm driving down the mound a little better than I did last year.
Does that come from Mike Harkey? Does it come from others within the organization? Who do you credit for that?
I think it's just, you know, on my own, really, in the off season, I was able to, you know, take some time out to really focus on mechanics and focus on what I needed to do. And, you know, it's made all my pitches better, not just my fastball velocity, but, you know, everything's kind of gotten better from that.
Diamondback starting pitcher Robbie Ray with Brad Sesmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, 1.09 earned run average last through four starts, has been absolutely terrific. You've been traded a couple of times now, right?
Yes, twice.
And when you find out that you're coming and going and you're only 23 years of age, is there a what have I done wrong, or how did you handle that and work through that? Because it's never not exactly what have you done wrong. It's what does this team see in me that the other one did not, I would think.
Right, yeah. You know, the first time I got traded to Detroit, it was kind of a, you know, a shock. You always want to, you know, come up with the team that drafted you and, you know, show that you were, you know, one of their guys. But, you know, even them trading you off for someone, you know, like a Doug Fister, you know, that shows that, you know,
it's a good trade.
You had some value in you.
Yep.
And, you know, being traded the second time, I think I was a little less caught off guard because I realized, you know, it's part of the business and it's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, you definitely feel like you're wanted.
And with a baby on the way, you'd kind of like to be here a while, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mama would like you to be here a while.
She would.
Tell me about getting adjusted to Castile and Saltalamacchia. There's been this time, this evaluation, evidently, that people have looked at and said, with these new catchers coming on board, trying to learn this pitching staff, that there's got to be a period of adjustment. I was there last night. I watched most every game. Has there been a period of adjustment catcher to pitcher, pitcher to catcher?
I think our catchers have done a really good job of sitting down with us and getting to know us as who we are as pitchers. And I was able to throw to Saltalamacchia in AAA, so he got to see me there before I came up here. So that was, you know, an advantage for us. And, you know, Castillo sat down and talked with Saltalamacchia on, you know, kind of how I am as a pitcher, and they kind of, you know, feed off of that. And me and Castillo sat down, and, you know, there definitely is a learning curve, learning your pitchers, but, you know, these guys have picked up on it quick and they're doing good.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to feel like that it's a competition that, okay, Chase was really good last night, and today and the next day and the next, with every start here in the last week and a half, you guys seem like you've all hit your stride here. And that's been the conversation around the Diamondbacks, that they have enough starting pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody's pitching good. It makes you want to pitch good too. So it's a little healthy competition.
Where is Brentwood, Tennessee?
Brentwood is about, I'd say 15 to 20 minutes south of Nashville.
And so you're a volunteer? Volunteer fan?
No, I'm not.
No? Really?
No.
Who is in back there? That's college. I mean, that's college country. Who are you a fan of then back there?
You know, I didn't really grow up watching much college football. You know, I kind of like I signed with the University of Arkansas, so obviously I'm going to support them in baseball. And, you know, I try to get to watch them in football as well, so I kind of root for them.
You're a Razorback.
I am.
Through and through. Well, not really through and through, because
no,
you're a baseball guy.
Not quite.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a big deal back home? If you went to Brentwood High School and they said, hey, Robbie Ray's on campus, would there be people wanting to come out and see you and congratulate you on all this?
There'd be a few people, but it's kind of a small town. It's not very big. There'd be a few people in the area that would, you know, want to come out and see me, but not a whole lot.
Two stoplight town?
It's probably a little bigger than that. The town I'm originally from is a one-stoplight town.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's really good to see you doing so well here and for the organization with young pitchers. And as you mentioned, the Fister deal, you know, you see that name attached to you. That's a pretty high mark. And best of luck. I just want to get to know you a little bit, and that's what I do here. So appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
You got it. There's Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is one of those guys, when he pitches, he's just kind of like talking to him there. It's pretty straightforward. I like that. That's good. We had a player on from the Diamondbacks, Eric. How about that, huh? It's I'll take more of those.
Yeah.
Why
not? He's a good story. I mean,
well, he's a great story. I like talking
to him. In the offseason, it's like, okay, Robbie Ray, and then you see this guy, and he's throwing, his velocity is up, like you said, and he's a left-handed, he's a young left-handed starter who's effective. You can never have enough of those guys.
He played for the Vermont Lake Monsters. That might be one of the best nicknames.
Oh, what a great nickname.
I was going to ask him about it, but, you know.
I need a hat. I bet their logo's sweet.
He pitched one game for the Vermont Lake Monsters. Go Lake Monsters. The Loch Ness Lake Monsters from Vermont.
Only minor league baseball can you come up with sweet names
like
that.
Let me think. He was. I'm going through this. He was with the Vermont Lake Monsters for one game. He struck out 2 in 1 inning. Then he went to the Hagerstown Suns. There's a joke there, but I'm not going to use it. Then he went to Potomac Nationals. Then he went to the Harrisburg Senators. How many guys go from the Nationals to the Senators? He was with the Toledo Mud Hens, which is one of the all-time great names. So he's been around a little bit. That's good. He was part of the Didi deal, if you look back on it, with the Tigers, that three-way deal. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports on the other side. Get you caught up some things on my mind in the middle of the day, including the U.S. Open. That's straight ahead.